Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. For those of you that can't read it, it says this is a no complaining zone. There'll be no complaints this morning. No complaining about my talk or about anything else. I have this sign posted at work on my cube, so when people come by, they can see it. I don't want people coming by and parking themselves at my chair for half an hour and tell me all the bad things that are happening with their job and with anything else. If you got a problem with your job, you can come to me and talk about it, but bring me a solution too. Tell me something you want to do about it. Don't just say, I hate this. Fix it for me. So complaining is not necessarily what I want to talk about this morning. I wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about this morning. I knew I wanted to talk about something that would be positive. Didn't care about the topic, I just wanted it to be positive. I wanted a happy talk. So I want to try and make people feel a little bit better when they left. Well, maybe that doesn't sound right. Not better because you left, but better for being here, so that when you leave, you feel better. You feel happier. There's just so much negativity in the world today, it drives me crazy. There's so much focus on what's bad and what's going wrong. The economy is bad, and everything's people losing their jobs. And it's true, it is. But it just seems like bad news is such good news that we hear about it all the time. There can be a bunch of good things happening, but if there's one bad thing, that's what people focus on. That's what people, the news focuses on, that one bad thing. So I'm just really tired of it. I want to focus on positive things. I mean, I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. I'm Mr. Negative. Administrative persons, I was walking by the other day, and she was looking at me, and I said, well, what are you looking at? She's going, I just want to see you smile sometime when you walk by. Like, is it that bad that you've never seen me smile walking by your cube? I walk by all the time. She goes, yeah, you do. So apparently I'm as guilty of as anybody else. I'm expecting the worst. I complain about things. We got all this snow, and my job's driving me crazy. I have a bad foot, and it hurts when I jog. But that's kind of okay because I threw my back out for the second time in a month and I can't jog anyway, so my back hurts. Everything is going wrong. I say I appreciate the things that God has done for me, but I sure don't act like it, and I sure don't show it. So, are you feeling better yet? Nah, I'm not either. Nah, but I forgot. It's a no complaining zone. So, no complaining. It's a happy talk. How do we start this thing? Let me hear joy and gladness. So that's what I want to talk about. Joy and gladness, about happiness. I don't mean to minimize people's problems, because people have problems. They've got health problems, they've got financial problems. Don't mean to minimize those kind of things. But let's focus on some positive things. Let's feel good about life. We find several verses in the scripture that tell us to encourage one another. So that's what we're trying to do, encouraging one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And in Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily. One of the reasons for encouraging one another is so that we don't fall into this habit of negativity, of always feeling bad, of always looking down. We want to be happy. We want to be positive. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. I think for now I'm good with the correcting and the rebuking part. I'm okay with that. I'm up to speed. I want to get to the encouragement part. Okay? So hopefully you'll be encouraged when you leave. I want to focus on some joy and happiness. There's a quote here from a man named John Sutherland Bunnell, and he says, not only is there a right to be happy, there is a duty to be happy. So much sadness exists in this world that we all are under obligation to contribute as much joy as lies within our power. There is so much bad things in these worlds that it's our duty to try and give as much joy into the world as we can, try and make up for that. It's a great way to approach how we interact with the world. I guess I need to change the way I do so that I can do that as well. We need to find ways to give as much joy as we can so other people can feel it. We know that difficult times are going to come. There's always difficult times. Things won't go as we want. Sadness is going to come into our lives. It always does. When this happens, we can sometimes maybe misplace our joy. We'll look at it like that. I wouldn't say we lose it. We just lose track of it. When I go to work, I park on the 8th floor of the parking garage there at Nationwide. and it looks out over some smaller buildings. And there's a building there that is right in front of where I park, and you can see all the refrigeration equipment or the air conditioning equipment and all these chimneys and everything. One day I noticed that there was a ladder there. It was a big ladder, 10-foot, 12-foot ladder, leaning up against a big, tall chimney. I thought, kind of odd, kind of out of place, this ladder on this roof. Day after day, this ladder was up there. I kept thinking, that's really weird. I mean, for months, this ladder was up there. And every time I would see it, I had this mental image of this maintenance worker down there talking to his coworker, going, have you seen the ladder? I cannot find that ladder anywhere. I know we have one. I don't know. It's gone. I can't find it anywhere. It's up on the roof there. Somebody misplaced it. They were up there. They're doing something, and then it's still up there. Sometimes I think that's the way with our joy. We misplace it, and we don't know where it is. We're going, why don't I feel happy? What's wrong? I just can't find this joy in my life. And it's up on the roof. After several months, I drove one day, and it was gone. Somebody finally went up there for some reason and went, there's the ladder? I've been looking for that thing for months. Maybe we can find some joy today. You can go, oh, here's my joy. I found it finally. That's where it is. So if you see somebody that's down and they're looking a little blue, next time you can say to them, what's wrong? Did you lose your ladder? One of the things we have to do is we have to decide to be happy. Now, deciding to be happy is not going to make us instantly happy. But you can certainly decide to be unhappy, and you will be. You will be. So you have to cultivate an attitude of wanting to be happy, but of also willing to be happy. Sometimes people come up and try and cheer me up, and I'm having none of it. I don't want to do it. I'm grumpy. I'm going to be grumpy. So don't try talking to me about it. I'm unhappy. Get out of here. You have to cultivate an attitude of wanting and of willing to be happy. So unfortunately, this world has conditioned us to seek joy and happiness in the wrong ways and from the wrong sources. We live in a society of consumers. We're told continuously that happiness comes from getting stuff, from having stuff, and from using stuff. Stuff brings us happiness. What stuff? You name it. Everything. The more expensive the stuff, the happier we are, too, in case you've noticed the commercials. Fast cars, big houses, fat paychecks, fancy clothes, expensive jewelry, cool electronics of every kind, and I have one right here. I'm so happy that I have this. They all bring us happiness. Just a bunch of stuff. I mean, I want stuff. I feel the desire for all this stuff. Although, as I get older, I don't seem to want this stuff quite as much. I like to think it's because I'm wiser now. But maybe I'm just more tired of taking care of stuff. And also, since I'm older, I have more stuff now, so I don't want it as much. As Christians, we're not immune to wanting stuff. In fact, it's one of Satan's best tools against us. Get us focused on stuff and getting stuff, and why don't I have that stuff? I want more stuff. We don't need all this stuff. We do need a certain amount of basic food, clothing, shelter, and God has told us he's going to give that to us. Beyond that, we don't need it. We may want it, but we don't need it. Doesn't mean we can't find joy in physical blessings, because we can. The right things with the right priority and the right emphasis, those things can bring us joy. Some stuff can. Mostly the stuff we need, food and shelter. But they're the least of the things that we should be joyful about, because they're the most fleeting. They're temporary. They're only while we're here in this world. They can be taken away at any time. We can work years to get them and lose them like that. Your house is filled with stuff and it burns down and you have nothing. You can always find someone else who has more stuff than you if you want to. You can lead to discontent and disappointment because you don't have the stuff that somebody else has. And you can spend your whole life pursuing stuff and never get it. But no matter how little we think we know we have a bunch. So much more than everybody else. We have a place to sleep. We have a warm shelter. If we lose everything, we can at least go find a place to sleep and a food and a meal somewhere. I mean, there are shelters out there. There's public and private places that will provide that stuff to us. We don't have to worry about that. God has blessed us so richly in this society that we can find stuff to survive. We won't die in the street if we lose all of our stuff. So physical blessings can be a blessing, but they're the least of blessings. They can't bring true happiness or lasting joy. So now, let's look to the scriptures and find out some things that God has given us that will bring us happiness and joy. One of the things that brings us happiness and joy is fellowship with other believers. What we're doing here this morning. I mentioned that if we lost everything, we could always find food and shelter. And that's out in the world. Anybody in the world can do that. How much more joy can we have knowing that we've got our church here to count on, that the fellowship we have here. Sure, we give money for the collection. We just did that. And that's available. Part of the purpose of that is for those who don't have enough. They can come and we can help them. But even if we didn't have that, who here would turn somebody away who didn't have? Who wouldn't open up their heart and their homes to one of us that was needing? If somebody lost everything, who would say, well, I think the Bethel Mission's available. You can go down there. They'll get you a meal and you can find a place to sleep. No, that's not what the church is. We're here for each other. That's the fellowship with other believers. Philippians 2, 1, 2. If you have any comfort from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. The church is the body of Christ. As part of the church, we are united with him together. We love our fellow man. We show that Christ is in us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Being part of the church makes us complete. Without the church, we're incomplete. We're not whole. Part of it is missing. Our joy is missing. It's incomplete. Only in the church and only in the love of God can we become complete. And then our joy is complete. Another thing we can have to be joyful about, and it's the oddest one of all probably, is suffering for Jesus. And that's really hard to think about that. Why would I be happy when I'm in pain or misery or when I'm being persecuted? It seems odd, but it's something that takes time to understand and with which we have to come to terms. It's a sign of a mature Christian and a mature faith when we can take the attitude that I'm suffering for Jesus, and I'm happy about that. 1 Peter 4:13 says, "Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." Bear the name of Christ and suffer for him. I have another quote here by a man named François de Fenelon. He wrote, "Peace does not dwell in outward things, but within the soul. We may preserve it in the midst of the bitterest pain if our will remains firm and submissive." Peace in this life springs from an acquiescence to, not an exemption from, suffering. We have to come to terms with the reality that suffering is part of life in this world. Even outside of Christ, suffering is part of this world. Being Christians, we open up ourselves to suffering even more, because people are going to persecute us for believing in Christ and for proclaiming his name. But that's a sacrifice Jesus made for us. He suffered for us. So we need to suffer for him. He suffered and died for us, and when we chose to wear his name, we pledged to suffer for him as well. We emulate Christ in his love and in his suffering. Romans 5:3. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." Maybe joy isn't the right word when we suffer for Christ. Maybe it's more satisfaction or contentment that we can fulfill our promise. When we said, "I believe in Jesus," we said, "I will suffer for him." It's a promise we make to him to share in his love, to try and pay back, if you will, although that's a terrible word, some of the love he has given to us and the suffering he has shown for us. So we suffer for him. There's a certain amount of contentment or satisfaction, maybe not joy, of saying, "I can do this for Christ. This is something that I can do." One of the other things we can be joyful for is the salvation of others. You know, we have the story of the lost sheep. There's 100 sheep, and one goes astray. So the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one. And he finds it. And he says, and he calls his friends and neighbors and together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." So we rejoice when somebody comes forward and joins the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. In heaven they rejoice and we rejoice here. But it doesn't say that heaven's not rejoicing over the righteous ones, the 99. Of course he rejoices over them. He just says that when one comes, it's a great occasion. It's a great occasion. We have the 99. They are here with us together. We have another one. It's a great thing. So we can rejoice that we're all here. Even if nobody gets baptized this morning, we can still rejoice in the salvation we know we have here together. All of us will be together. All of us are saved because of our belief in Christ. So we can rejoice knowing that we'll be together in heaven someday. We can rejoice that God reigns supreme. Revelations 19:6. And I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." Even though it sometimes seems like sin and evil are everywhere and they possess everything, we know that God is greater than all these things, and his will and his glory will overcome. He will come for his bride, the church, someday, and everyone will submit to his will. God reigns supreme. We know that. Even though it doesn't seem like that, in our hearts we know that. We can take comfort and find happiness because of that. We can take joy in seeking God, in finding God. Of course, there's no joy if we look for God and we don't find him, but that's because we're not looking the right way or in the right places. 1 Chronicles 16:10. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Then Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's how we must seek God, with all our heart. It's the only way we're going to find him. We have to find him and seek him with all our heart, not haphazardly or intermittently, not lazily or inattentively. We must be focused, sincere, and dedicated. We must truly want to find God. Again, a willingness for happiness, a willingness to find God and to find joy in that. We can find joy in knowing Jesus. He is our Savior. All things are possible through him. It's a long passage here. I'm going to read it because I like it. I like it. It's Paul talking in Philippians 3:3-11, talking about why he wants to know Christ. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. There are so many things in that sentence where you can find joy. Many of them we've talked about already. Knowing Christ, such infinite and compassionate love. How can someone die and suffer and still say, "It's not their fault, Lord, forgive them"? To know that great love. The power of his resurrection. Salvation brought to the world through that resurrection. Not just his death, it's his resurrection, showing that we will live again as well. Conquering of death, the eternal happiness that comes from that. The fellowship of suffering, we already mentioned about that. Somehow attain resurrection from the dead. Not somehow, as in not knowing or understanding or doubting how, but not being worthy of such a grace and such love. Inconceivable that he could love us so much. Somehow his love will save me. Attaining of eternal life in heaven is, and not eternal death in hell. And becoming like Jesus. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. When we love, we are like Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to emulate Jesus and his love and his sacrifice in this world. That's what we're supposed to do. The more we love, the more we become like him. Loving our family and the church is easy. Loving our fellow man is a little harder. Loving our enemies is the hardest. And God, Jesus has told us to do that. The further down that road we travel, the more we become like Jesus in this world. We can take joy in that. Not proudly, but humbly in service to him. And last, of course, the hope of our home in heaven. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gathered access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We'll rejoice in heaven forever someday. We can look forward to that. It's our hope and it's our strength. It's what carries us through this world, knowing that this is not all there is, that there is so much more that's going to come that we can't even conceive of it. It makes all things bearable. We can find joy in that. So my last talk, if you remember, if you were here, I spoke about dreams. I have one more quote from T.E. Lawrence that deals with dreams. It says, "All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night, in the dusty recesses of their minds, wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act their dreams with open eyes to make it possible." Do you dream of a joyful life and a home in heaven? Then you must act your dream with open eyes to make it possible. Acts 20:26 says, "First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." If you believe in Jesus and want to make him your joy and your happiness and your salvation, then you must show that with deeds, not words alone. Repent of your sins. Come forward. Confess Jesus as your Savior. Wash your sins away with the waters of baptism, and then you'll find joy. Your joy will be complete in Jesus. We offer the gospel invitation as we stand to sing the invitation song. Let me hear joy and gladness.